Good morning, everyone.
It's great to be here with you all again. It's been a while. It's been about 3 years. Not much has changed, except we've gotten a bit older and our children have got a bit bigger. And it's just great to see some familiar faces, but also see some new faces as well. So I believe you've been looking at the great book of Acts in the past weeks. The Acts of the Apostles, as many have called it. But we may very well call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as it is a time when the Holy Spirit really worked in great ways through the early church. So it is a great book. I really enjoy the many stories in Acts. And so today we'll continue to look at Acts, and we'll continue to look at chapter 13. So it would be good to have your Bibles open to chapter 13 to help you to follow along. And to help us to remember what you have already looked at, let's briefly look at the context or the story so far of before chapter 13. So in chapter 1 verse 8, we see that the gospel is to go out to the ends of the earth. First for the Jew, starting in Jerusalem, and then spreading out to the ends of the earth. So you have seen in the first 9 chapters that the gospel has been preached to Peter, by Peter to the Jews. The early church grows, and then persecution hits. Stephen is stoned. But we see that the gospel continues to expand. In chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul. And then in chapter 10, we read about Peter's vision. And we learn that the gospel is also for the Gentiles. Because of the persecution of the word of God, the word of God spreads not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, as you see in chapter 11. And so last week you would have looked at chapter 12 and about the miraculous story of Peter's great escape from prison. And so today we come to chapter 13. So I'm sure many of you have heard about the cricket Ashes Test Series between Australia and England in July. I don't often talk about cricket in my sermons, but today I am. The reason why I don't often talk about cricket is because usually on a Sunday morning I'm in a village church in Tanzania preaching in Swahili in a small church with a dirt floor and no windows, and a congregation of Tanzanians who know nothing about cricket. As you saw the video, that's the church that we usually go to. But today is a little different. Unfortunately, the Australian cricket team didn't do well in the last test series, losing quite convincingly. But it was good for my family to be able to watch the second test in the middle of the night just after we returned to Australia, when the whole family was wide awake due to jet lag. So it was quite amusing having Joash and all the kids up watching cricket in the middle of the night. But despite Australia not doing too well in the Ashes, a good thing to say about cricket is that I have tried to teach the students at the training centre, at the Boys Brigade Murrow Training Centre, to play backyard cricket. It's a lot of fun, but the students don't quite get the idea of how to play as a team, especially in the area of partnership. Usually you hit the ball and you run between the wickets and share with one another the batting position. But my students keep running so they can have the strike again, even though there is no chance of making it back behind the crease in time. They all simply just want to bat all the time, which they are quite good at, and some are naturals. But they don't seem to get the idea of partnership and being part of a team, and the idea of working together in the cricket game to do better together. They need to learn that when they are in a team, they are in a partnership and they are working together towards a common goal. So partnership is something that the Australian cricket team does do well. They have a good communication between the batsmen and really have a good partnership at times. When they work together for the same result, when they have a good partnership, they seem to do better and get good results. But I didn't come here to talk about cricket. What I do want to do is share with you from Acts chapter 13. So Acts chapter 13 is a big chunk of text. It's 52 verses in all. And so because it's such a big chunk of text, we won't look at everything in detail, but we will look at a few main points, try and look at what it all means and see how it applies to our lives. And hopefully you will understand why I talked about cricket and partnerships. So the first thing I want to talk about is Paul and Barnabas being set apart for mission. So this wasn't read out for us today, but it is a part of the section we were looking at, and I feel that it is an important section to look at. So let's just quickly read Acts chapter 12, verse 25 to chapter 13, verse 3. It says, "When Barnabas and Saul finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. In the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." So we see that Barnabas and Saul, who was later called Paul, the Apostle Paul, who opposed the Christian movement and persecuted the early church, but who is now a serious advocate and preacher of the gospel, they returned from Jerusalem after their mission, and so they are at the church in Antioch. So there are two things to note. The first thing is that whilst they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit set them apart for the special work God had called them to do. That is, to preach the word of God to the ends of the earth. You may remember in way back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the apostles were to be witnesses of Jesus. They were to proclaim the good news of Jesus in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They were called to preach the gospel first to the Jews in Jerusalem and then to the Gentiles outside of Jerusalem until the gospel reached the ends of the earth. And so here in chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are chosen to do this task. Secondly, we see we then see that the church fasted and prayed, placed their hands on Barnabas and Paul, and sent them off on another mission. This is a great picture of a partnership. The church sent the men, and the men went out in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas didn't just go off on their own will. It was the will of God and they were sent by the church. They were in a partnership between the church at Antioch and Paul and Barnabas. So the mission was not just simply Paul and Barnabas. It was the mission of the church as well as who supported them. So this reminds me of our partnership with the church here today. 10 years ago, we were here talking about our plans of going to Tanzania and asking you as a church to support us in our plans with CMS. And 10 years ago, you agreed to send us out and support our ministry. So like Paul and Barnabas, we have had a partnership with you, a good, solid partnership. So I don't really want to compare our ministry to that of Paul and the Church of Antioch, for we would fall way short. But I do want to raise awareness to the fact that we do have a good partnership. For this, we are very thankful and praise God. So you have sent us to Tanzania to do the work of God, and you remain here supporting us in our ministry and continuing with the ministry in the church here. So it is a partnership which is based on the word of God, and it is a partnership that helps the gospel to reach to the ends of the earth, to Tanzania. Our gospel not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles of Tanzania. It's also a partnership that has its problems. There's opposition and hardships. But because it is based on the word of God, it is one that lasts. It's one that stands. It has been a partnership for 10 years now. So just like when you have a good partnership in cricket, you get good results. So too with Paul and Barnabas and us and the church here. A strong partnership will bring good results. And so with my first point, I want us to think about the importance of partnership in spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. As we will see, the partnership between Paul and Barnabas and the church at Antioch saw great results of the gospel reaching to the ends of the earth. And so in the following verses, verses 4 to 43 of chapter 3, we see two situations where the word of God was preached. And firstly, in verses 4 to 12, and secondly, from verses 13 to 43. These two situations are about the second thing I want us to look at today. That is the importance of preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God is central to the Christian person. Without the word of God, the Christian life has no meaning. The word of God is so very important that without the word of God, we have no hope. We can say this because the word of God, with the word of God, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope through Jesus. So let's look at these two situations and see the importance of the word of God. The first situation in verses 4 to 12, it says in verse 5, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Now, Paul and Barnabas have now arrived in Cyprus. Notice that when they arrived, they went straight to the synagogues. They preached the word of God to the Jews. So if we read on some more, we will see that Paul and Barnabas meet the proconsul, who was a governor of a province of the Roman Republic, but basically a member of the government. So the proconsul sent for Paul and Barnabas because he wanted to hear the word of God. So Paul and Barnabas go to the proconsul to preach the word of God. But on the way, they are met by a sorcerer and false prophet who tried to oppose Paul and Barnabas in their ministry. So we read that this man was a child of the devil and wanted to oppose the gospel and turn people from the faith. But Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, basically curses the man and performs a miracle, and the man becomes blind. So as a result of this miracle and the preaching of the word of God, the proconsul believed. So let's read verse 12. It says, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. So Paul performed a miracle along with teaching about the Lord. And as a result, the man believed. In the first year of the training centre, the Carpentry and Bible Centre, there was a student called Shimba. Shimba came from a non-Christian family, a family that believed in traditional African religion. So when it came, when Shimba came to the training centre, he didn't know much about Jesus. So when we asked him in the interview, what does Jesus mean to you, he couldn't answer the question. And so a part of the training centre, part of the course, is to teach the gospel clearly using the wordless book, using colours and using pictures. So we present the gospel in a clear way that they can understand it. And so by the time we reached the mid-year break, Shimba had a very good understanding of the gospel and truly understood who Jesus was. So as a result, he was baptised and he was confirmed. And quite often when Tanzanians get baptised, that when they give their life to Jesus, they change their name. And so Shimba changed his name from to Yusufu, which is basically Joseph. But the other great thing about this story is that Yusufu, when he returned to the training centre after the mid-year break, was that he was so excited he couldn't wait to tell me how he had shared the gospel with his family, shared the gospel with his extended family and with his neighbours. And so as a result of the word of God, great things happen in Yusufu's life. So we don't know what came about Yusuf's preaching the gospel, but we do know that seeds were planted, and we do know that it is God who changes lives, and we do know that the word of God was spread out. So what we see from this passage and the story of Yusufu is that people believe because of the word of God, because of the gospel. We also see that despite the great efforts of Paul preaching the word of God, there was also great opposition. But within this opposition, there is also acceptance of the truth because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Tanzania, there is great opposition to the gospel in the way of demon possession. Several times I arrived to church for a Bible study or a church service and have seen people possessed and rolling around on the ground screaming. There is clearly opposition to the gospel, as it often happens in the church context. The person is hearing the word of God and the spiritual forces within them are in opposition to the gospel. But ultimately, by the word of God and the name of Jesus Christ, these people are healed. They accept the word of God and the truth of Jesus as Lord. Once again, showing that great things happen because of the word of God is preached. So the second situation is when Paul and Barnabas go to Pisidian Antioch. We see this in verses 13 to 43. Once again, in Pisidian Antioch, which is a different place to the Antioch where Paul and Barnabas were sent off from, once again, Paul and Barnabas, they entered the synagogue. And Paul was given the opportunity to share a message of encouragement. And so Paul, he took this opportunity to share the complete gospel. Paul starts his sermon, his presentation of the gospel, the word of God, by addressing all who were there. We read in verse 16, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." It was not only the Jews Paul was speaking to, although the majority of people would have been Jews, as they were in a synagogue, which is basically a church, a place of worship like a church for the Jews. But Paul was also speaking to the Gentiles, people who were not Jews, but believed in and worshipped God. So basically the message Paul was going to share was for all people, not just for the Jews. You would have seen this when you looked at chapter 10 and chapter 11, where Peter meets Cornelius, a Gentile believer. So up until now, the gospel was for the Jews. But as we are slowly seeing, the gospel is not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And so in verses 17 to 43, we see that Paul's message of the complete gospel was for all people. So in verses 17 to 43, Paul's message of the gospel started with the Old Testament. So I love how neatly the Old Testament and the New Testament tie together. So Paul starts his gospel presentation beginning with the Old Testament, thus showing that there is a unifying theme of the gospel throughout the whole Bible. So Paul starts his message of the gospel way back when God's people, the Israelites, were in slavery in Egypt, the story we can read about in Exodus, the second book of the Bible. He then talks about the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and the entering of the promised land. He then talks about the judges and the kings and mentions that it is from the descendants of King David comes Jesus the Saviour. So Paul is using the Old Testament to explain the gospel of Jesus. Paul then moves into the New Testament and talks about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And then Paul talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus. So Paul is presenting a very thorough account of the gospel of Jesus. He then continues to quote the Old Testament, which confirms God's plan of salvation to bring his people who are lost in sin, to bring them back to himself as he has always had planned. So we see that in verses 33 to 41, Paul quotes the Old Testament. All this use of the Old Testament makes us feel that the gospel is for the Jews, as the Jews were very well versed in the Old Testament, as it was the Bible to them. It is what they had in order to know who God was. That they would have known and understood what Paul was saying. And we see in verse 43 that many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas and wanted to hear more. And Paul and Barnabas encouraged them to continue in the grace of God, continue to believe in Jesus and follow the ways of Jesus. So this is another good result from preaching the word of God, from preaching the gospel. Now in verse 38, Paul clearly says that it is through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Let's read verse 38 to 39. "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses." The forgiveness of sins is through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus alone. Everyone who believes in Jesus will be justified from all sin. In the event of Yusufu, his family is trying to have fulfillment, salvation through traditional African religious belief systems. But this verse clearly shows that it is only through Jesus that salvation can be found. So this is a hard teaching for the Jews, because they followed strictly to the law of Moses, to the Old Testament, that sin was atoned for by the sacrifice of an animal. The Jew was saved by keeping to the Old Testament law, by obeying the rules of the Old Testament set out by God. But when the gospel came, when Jesus died and was raised to life again, salvation was no longer found in obeying the Old Testament law, but in obeying Jesus, by believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. What Paul was preaching was quite radical for a Jew. But as we have seen through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, that it is now through Jesus salvation is found. Verse 41 is a warning against unbelief. Once again, it is a quote from the Old Testament, using the Jews' own text, warning the Jews that if they do not repent and believe, they will perish. And so we see that many Jews accepted the Word of God, so much so that the following week at the synagogue, the whole city gathered to hear the Word of God. Unfortunately, we read on in verse 45 and see great opposition again. Opposition from the Jews to the teaching of the Word of God. There is jealousy with Paul's teaching, and the Jews talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Unfortunately, there's a common thread throughout the Bible. That is the opposition to the gospel. We see throughout Jesus' life that there was great persecution and opposition to him. And this is seen even today with many countries that are closed to the Bible, to the gospel. So Paul's response to the Jewish opposition can be seen in verse 46. Verse 46 says, "Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, 'We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles.'" This is a major turning point in the book of Acts, which started back in chapter 10. The gospel of Jesus Christ was first preached to the Jews. But now we see that the Jews are rejecting Jesus, and so the gospel now is for the Gentiles too. This shows that it is the beginning of God's great plan of bringing all people to him. This is the start of the gospel reaching to the ends of the earth. Paul in verse 47 again quotes the Old Testament. "I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." This shows that God had a great plan to bring salvation to the ends of the earth, to all people, and this plan included Jesus. It is through Jesus, his death and resurrection, that salvation comes to all people. The gospel was first for the Jews, but they rejected Jesus. And so now it is for the Gentiles, for all people. So this is a turning point, because from now on, Acts talks about the Gentile mission, which I'm sure you will look at in the coming weeks. It has always been God's plan to have all nations come to him through Jesus. So here in Acts, it is talking about the plan that the gospel is for the Gentiles also. All through the Bible, we see that it is God's plan for all people to know God. We see it in the Gospels, where Jesus teaches his disciples to make disciples of all nations, as seen in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, where it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This is a command, a commission Jesus gave his disciples before he left them. It was always the plan of God for all nations to know him. This is seen in Jesus' ministry. Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman. Jesus started to include people outside of Israel, outside of God's chosen people, into the kingdom of God. There is no surprise that the gospel is to go to all peoples, to all nations. It has always been part of God's plan. And we have seen it several times in this passage today. So with the Great Commission, the disciples were meant to be a part of God's plan to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We are to be a part of this plan. The disciples had to go and tell people of all nations the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to teach people of all nations to obey all the things that Jesus had taught his disciples. And then Jesus finishes by saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus didn't just leave his disciples helpless and unable to do the task he commissioned them to do. He made a promise that he will be with them always. And so in Acts 2, you saw that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, which he promised, in order to help his disciples with the task. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in partnership with the disciples. The disciples had to go on with the task of making other disciples, and Jesus is with them in partnership, helping them to fulfill this task. They are not alone. They have the Holy Spirit working with them in partnership to fulfill the task. Obviously, it is not an equal partnership when Jesus is one of the partners, but we are all on the same team. Like cricketers form a partnership to reach their goal, so too do the disciples of Jesus have a partnership with the Holy Spirit to reach the goal of making disciples of all nations. So partnership is like an agreement. Two parties agree to work together to reach a common goal. As long as the two parties remain faithful, the goal will most likely be reached. So Samantha and I have had a partnership with you for the past 10 years, a sort of a contract, an agreement. We agreed to serve God in Tanzania, working in partnership with the Anglican Church of Tanzania. And the church here agreed to support us by praying, caring and giving financially. So from this partnership, we see that God has heard our prayers and has blessed us all in our ministry together. So what does all this mean? What does chapter 13 in Acts mean to us all? We are to continue in our partnership so that good things can continue to happen. I hope and pray that we are a blessing to you as you are to us. We are Gentiles. The gospel is for us. We need to accept it. So I want to encourage you to believe in Jesus and know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead for the Jews, but not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, for you and I. If you haven't made a choice to accept Jesus into your life, I want to encourage you to do so, because it is only through Jesus that the forgiveness of sins can be obtained. Salvation is only through Jesus. And once you have believed and accepted Jesus, I want to encourage you to continue to preach the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God is for all people who believe and follow Jesus. Everyone is called to preach the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God is not only from the pulpit. It's not just the job of the minister. We can preach the gospel to our neighbours, to our work colleagues, simply by conversation or comments about the gospel. We also can preach the gospel with our actions, with our acts of love and service for others. And preaching the gospel is not only for missionaries overseas, like in Tanzania, but it is also for people here in Laurieton. The gospel is to be preached first here in your local area and then to the ends of the earth, just as it was to be preached in Jerusalem first and then Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Preach the word until it reaches the end of the word. Preach the word until it reaches the ends of the earth, because it is for all people, Jew and Gentile, for the school kid in Laurieton High, for the grandma at the retirement village, for the Anglo-Saxon rugby player, for the Asian restaurant owner, for the students at BBMTC, the training centre in Tanzania. The gospel is for all people. So let me finish with these words from the end of the chapter, end of chapter 13. "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." So let me encourage you not to reject the word of God. and so miss out on eternal life. And let me encourage you to be a light for Jesus in order that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, thank you.